Well, welcome back to our second week in our sermon series called Grow. When we were planning our sermons out, we decided that this was a great time of the year to do a sermon series on growing, because it's kind of that season of the year where people are focused on self-improvement and New Year's resolutions. So in whatever area of life you're focusing on growing on, my prayer is that these next few weeks you may grow closer to your Lord and Savior. Whether you are a newer Christian that's still learning the basic Bible teachings, or you are a mature Christian who's read the Bible through many times, my prayer is that you may grow. And today we're going to be talking about the concept of growing with integrity. So, what do you know about integrity? I think this is a characteristic that each one of us wants to have. The idea of someone being honest and genuine. Maybe you think about someone who's a man of his word or practice what you preach, those types of ideas. I think we can all agree that we all want to have integrity. C.S. Lewis defined it like this. He said, "Integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is watching." I like that quote. It's a good idea. It's talking about how your morals line up with your action, and you're not just trying to do things to impress other people. That's good. If I had to pick an example from a childhood book of someone who had integrity, I would pick Horton from Horton Hatches the Egg. You know Horton, he's an elephant, but for whatever reason, he's stuck hatching an egg, and people make fun of him for that because he's not a bird. But whenever they make fun of him for that, he fires back with his comment, "I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. An elephant is faithful 100%. What a beautiful case of integrity. The word integrity, it comes from the word integer. Maybe there's some math people out here today. An integer is a whole number, like 7, 8, or 9, as opposed to a fraction, like 7.5. So when you call someone who has integrity, you are saying that they are a whole person. They are genuine, their beliefs line up with their actions, as opposed to someone who is flaky or a fake. No one wants to be called a hypocrite or flaky or fake or two-faced, whatever it may be. I think each person here wants to grow in integrity and to be that type of person. One of the reasons why the Apostle Paul wrote this letter of 1 Thessalonians was because his integrity, his reputation, was being attacked by outsiders. Paul usually went by the name the Apostle Paul or Missionary Paul. But there are certain people in the churches that were calling him Greedy Paul or Fake Paul. And this was a problem because it wasn't just Paul's reputation on the line. It was the gospel message that he was preaching as well. So the Apostle Paul, he writes a large chunk in this letter to defend his faith. And there's one verse that sticks out. Defending himself, he says, "You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed." How can the Apostle Paul say that? How he was holy and righteous and blameless. I'm sure there's been a time in your life when your reputation or integrity was intact as well. Maybe somebody at work questioned your motives. Maybe it was a spouse at home. At some point, I'm sure someone has questioned your integrity. And when this happens, whether the accusations are true or not, it's not fun because your reputation is on the line. But if you're like me, I think you have to agree that every time someone questions your motives or actions, at some level, they're probably right. Because I know that I do good things, and they might look good to outward people, but I know at some level, I often have some type of selfish motive going on as well. Very rarely can I say that my beliefs and my motives line up perfectly. So any attack on my integrity is probably somewhat true. So how do we get to this level, where the Apostle Paul is talking about being holy and righteous and blameless before other people? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today, about how to grow with integrity. There is a professor of Yale named Stephen L. Carter, and he wrote a book on integrity. And he says, with integrity, there's three steps involved. He says, if you want to have integrity, first, you need to be able to discern what is right and what is wrong. Second, act on what you have discerned, even at personal cost. And then third, say openly that you are acting on your understanding of right and wrong. So the first step is that idea of taking the time to get to know what you actually believe. And I'm going to call that what your priorities are. And then the next step is, Carter is saying that it's not just good enough to be honest. To be a person of integrity, it needs to affect your life. You need to actually start living by your belief system. So I'll call that actions. And then the third step is to say why you are living that way to other people. Why do you live with these actions? And I'm going to call that motives. So today we're going to look at the Apostle Paul's priorities, actions, and motives so that we can learn how to grow with integrity. And he starts off this chapter by saying this. You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. We had previously suffered and had been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God who tests our heart. You know we never use flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else, even though as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority. So did you catch the Apostle Paul's priorities here? Paul understood that life wasn't just about Paul. Paul was on a mission to serve God, and one of the best ways that he could serve God was by spreading the gospel message. That was his job. So what he did, he could spread the gospel message to as many people as he could, as best as he could. That's how he served God. God wasn't the co-pilot of Paul's life, but God was the pilot. Paul understood that. His life was centered on serving God. I think it's very easy for us to reverse those priorities, where we think that God exists to serve us instead of thinking that we exist to serve God, where we treat God like a waiter, and we use prayer like a little bell to get God's attention, and we tell him what to do in our lives, and when he doesn't do what we tell him to do, then we get upset, and we think that God is cruel or angry, or we go away from the church, or whatever it may be. And that's because we reversed our priorities. When we think that God exists just to serve us, we have a very narrow focus of life. We think that life is all about yourself. But really, we exist to serve God. And we do that by sharing the gospel message and listening to what he has to say. That was the Apostle Paul's priorities. But there were people in Thessalonica that were attacking Paul's integrity. They really had two accusations against him. They said that he used flattery and that he was greedy, which I think are two big accusations of the church that they still face today. And maybe you're aware of some of this. I think we see flattery and greed quite a bit in the church, especially with televangelists. I'm not going to stand up here today and bash televangelists. I watch a lot of sermons every week, and a lot of them have helped me grow in my faith. But there are certain ones out there that are pretty twisted, and they change and twist God's word. Do you recognize them when you see it? The type of preacher who wears a $3,000 suit and tells you that if you become a Christian, you will get that promotion. Your bank account will be better. The grass in your yard will be greener. If you become a Christian, they promise worldly success if you become a Christian, and then they pass around the offering basket. This is just one example of somebody standing up here and using flattery to twist God's word. But at Cross of Life, we have different priorities. As preachers here, our number one priority is to serve God, and we do that by preaching God's word correctly, the way how he wants to teach us. In the Bible, there are certain teachings that could be very offensive to a first-timer who comes through the doors and hears the message for the first time. But does that mean that we'll water down the scriptures just to make it more friendly to the outside culture? Absolutely not, because our priority is to serve God and not ourselves, even if that means offending some other people. And there's also the other accusation out there about how the church is greedy. And maybe that's true for some churches as well. But let me tell you this. At Cross of Life, I drive a Honda Civic. Pastor Schultz drives a Honda CR-V. They are nice, reliable cars. And yes, we collect an offering. We pass around an offering basket. But let's say this. Let's say somebody today puts in the basket a check for $5 million. Do you know what me and Pastor Joel will be driving to church next week? Matching Mercedes-Benz. Just kidding. No, it'll be the same Hondas, because that is not our priority. Our priority is not to get rich off the church. Our priority is to serve God, which leads to our first point for the day. Step number one, get your priorities straight. We understand that it takes some time to form our beliefs. And if you are a Christian, you understand that your life will be centered on serving God and not yourself. And once you have this priority of serving God and not yourself, that will change the way you live. And it changed the way the Apostle Paul lived as well. So now we are going to look at his actions that he had in this church. Instead, we were gentle among you, just as a mother cares for her children. So we cared for you, because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy and righteous and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. So the gospel worked in Paul's heart, and he began to give himself over to this church extravagantly. He says he was like a mother and a father to this church, which means that he gave this church what they needed. When they needed someone who was gentle and nurturing, and when they needed a tender whisper, the Apostle Paul acted like a mother to this church. But when they needed moral instruction or discipline or a stern warning, the Apostle Paul acted like a father to the church. So there are people accusing him of being crooked or not having integrity, but the Apostle Paul answers and said, "Hey, don't you remember? I acted like a mother and father to you." And then he goes on to tell them about how hard he works for them, how he toiled night and day for them, even to the point of suffering. If you read through the book of Acts, you will find countless examples of some terrible things that the Apostle Paul went through. He was whipped, he was thrown in prison, he was beaten, he was stoned, he was ran out of so many towns, all before the sake of the gospel. Why would he do this? If he was just a guy trying to get rich quick off of his message, why would he go to such lengths to the point of even dying for that message? It doesn't make sense. The Apostle Paul, he practiced what he preached. And then he also said how he shared his life with them. Before I came here as a vicar, I wrote down two goals that I had for myself for this year. And I wrote them on a note card, and I put them on my fridge so I remember. And here they are. Goal number one, I want to share God's word with you in the most vivid way possible that I can. And then step number two, I want to get to know as many of you as I can on a personal level. My two goals. And the Apostle Paul here says these are his same two goals as well. It's great to be able to share the gospel message, but he talks about what a joy it is to get to know you on a personal level as well. And so far, these have been my two joys for ministry as well. I love being able to stand up here and to preach God's word to you. I love to be able to do it in Bible classes. But it's also been a real joy to be able to share my life with you and for you to share your life with me. For all of you out there who I've gotten to know on a personal level, it's been great and I've cherished it. It's been great. That second goal, that's how I got to know so many of you. That's how I met my wife, is before getting to know people on a personal level. And that's been just such a joy. And that is the whole point here about how the Apostle Paul, he cared so much for these people and it affected his life and how he lived. Which leads to step number two, practice what you preach. When we have our belief system, that will affect the way that you live. It will change you. The gospel message, it changes our life. It's not good enough to say you live a life of integrity, to just have an honest message. It needs to change the way that you live. I think there's a common accusation out there sometimes that Christians get when they look at one Christian who's not living the way that he should, and then they say, well, why should I become a Christian? Look at that guy. He does more worse things than I do. Imagine if the Apostle Paul was that Christian, and he came into Thessalonica, and he preached the gospel message, but then he started to just live however he wanted to. He would have instantly been discredited. So that's why it's so important to live a life of integrity so that his message wouldn't come in vain. But why did Paul do this? Why did he work so hard, night and day, suffering for these people? Well, let's look at his motives next, why he did this. And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. Do you see why Paul worked so hard? It's because there were people in Thessalonica who didn't know Jesus. And now because of Paul's efforts and the blessing of the Holy Spirit, there are people who do. That's why he worked so hard. That's why he dedicated his life to these people. Because there are people who didn't know Jesus, and now they do. And at Cross of Life, we have so many people here serving every single day. We have people who come in and set up chairs on Sunday morning. We have an AV team who puts in countless hours, not only to make a worship service, but also so that we can broadcast the message on our website and on Facebook so that other people can hear the gospel message. That's why we have bulletin folders and greeters and musicians and people who do so many different things and put in so many hours at Cross of Life. But why do we work so hard? Why do we do this? Because there are people who don't know about Jesus. And now because of our efforts and the Holy Spirit blessing them, there are people who do. That's what's on the line here. That's why we do what we do. That's why it's so important to live a life of integrity. Which leads to point number three. I want you to know your motivation. I want you to know why it's so important, why we strive to live a life like this. Because there are people who don't know about Jesus, and now there are people who do. And chances are, there will be a time in your life when your reputation or integrity will be attacked again. And you don't want your motives to be questioned, or you don't want your life to be put and get examined or be falsely accused for something you didn't do. But let's look at the life of Jesus. Throughout his life, his reputation and integrity was questioned, and he was called many different names. Here are some of the names that Jesus was called. He was called insane, which was a comment made by his own family. He was called demon-possessed and out of his mind. He was called a glutton and a drunkard and a blasphemer. As soldiers put a crown of thorns on his head, they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And as Jesus hung on the cross, they said he could save others, but not himself. Jesus, who's known for bringing people back to life, who's the one who gives us resurrections, was mocked as someone who couldn't do it. And this is Jesus, who lived a perfect life, who did perfect actions and perfect motives all the time. He had his reputation and integrity attacked. But he didn't defend his name. Why? Because he knew his motivation. He thought about you, someone who was lost and didn't know God. And now, because of what Jesus has done, we do know him. Jesus, who died on the cross, who had his integrity attacked, had his name attacked, so he could give you the name Child of God. Jesus was mocked by others throughout his life so that we could have peace with God. And since we have peace with God, since we know that we are a child of God, we know now that God sees us as his perfect child. For every time we failed to live a life of integrity, for every time where our reputation was should have been and rightly was accused of being wrong, for every failed gospel opportunity sharing that we had, it's forgiven. It's forgiven because of what Jesus has done for us. We want to live a life of integrity. We want to grow in this, not to make God happy, because Jesus already made God so happy with you because of his efforts and because of his work. We can never completely grow to that point of making God pleased by ourselves, by what we've done. But because of Jesus, we have a Father who is rejoicing over you and calls you his own child. And once we know this, this will motivate us to grow with integrity. We know that we don't want to discredit the gospel message to others by the way that we live, so we want to grow closer to that. Walking with Jesus daily and be looking at his beauty every single day will help you to grow with integrity. It will help you to change your lives. It will help you to get your priorities straight and to practice what you preach and to know your motivation so that we can share that gospel message with others and show what a beautiful Savior that we have. Now, my prayer for you is that you may grow with integrity. Amen.